Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
And welcome into hour number two, and it's time to get a report on the Grand Isle area. Captain Darrell Carpenter of RealScreamers.com, who has one vote to sit on the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission, is joining us now. Hello, Commissioner Carpenter. How are you doing this morning?
No. I'm doing too fine, dog.
I thought that might be your response.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on fishing-wise down there.
Well, you know, there's been a few reports came in this week. It's mostly been redfish and sheephead this week that we're getting reports on. Up toward the Lafitte area, it's been well north of Grand Isle where most people have been fishing. And the redfish have been thick. I mean, they're starting to gang up. Well, all week we had, after that last front, we had a lot of low water levels. So the fish were ganged up in holes. You found a deeper hole. Bends and canals, points, that type of stuff. And when you found the right one, it was just schooled up full of redfish. You had to be really careful running around because the water was low. But, now we've got the southeast wind. The water level has gone from real, real low to way above normal on the tide. So things are going to change a little bit. You're going to start, if you're out there looking for redfish today or ahead of this rain that's coming, you're going to have to start looking in toward that marsh grass or in those staging areas between those deep holes. So it's that challenging time of the year where you've got to change your tactics every hour or so with the weather changing tactics. But the fish are starting to show up. There was a few trout caught here and there. Most people didn't target them this time. This week, they were, most of the reports, like I said, were nothing but redfish or they were beating that marsh. For us, the paint came in. UPS truck brought the paint, so we're fixing to get the boat up on blocks and do its annual painting and get everything ready to go. And, March is going to roll around here real soon.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Darrell, I got a question in from one of our listeners, Tommy from Luling. He wants to know about using favorite hook style and size if you're fishing live shrimp under a cork. I've got my choice. What is yours?
Well, we normally go with a number two kale hook, a two-aught kale hook. The kale hooks do well. They turn good. They hook the fish good. And, they're versatile. We use them not just for shrimp, but with the croakers and the other live bait, the minnows and so forth. Like I said, they've got a good turn. Unless you let that fish swallow it, it's usually a good lip or jaw hook. And, you just can't beat them. I mean, you can get them in any finish you want. The two-aught kale is the deal. Now, sheephead fishing, we're going to something like sheephead, then we're going to the cheapest jig heads we can find to keep them from swallowing it.
Yeah. Well, I've actually used the number one kale. I find that'll handle anything, even up to some pretty good-sized redfish. But the number two is good, too. That would be my choice. And the kale style, that's K-A-H-L-E, Tommy, if you want to look it up. You can find them easy, but I find that's the best one to get a good hook set. And Darrell agrees with that. Dudley Vandenborg uses very small treble hooks with live bait, and he does quite well with them. And believe it or not, a lot of those fish are hooked in the lip for some reason with the treble hook. They really don't swallow them. Or maybe it's just because Dudley's quick on the draw, and he doesn't let the fish suck it down in time.
Yeah, we call those handicap hooks. I do keep a box for the kids and the people that just have a hard time getting it. It's become real common that, while we're trying to teach people, it's like, hey, your cork's gone. And they're like, yeah, I know, but I don't feel anything. I know it's gone, but I don't feel anything. If you use, you're using treble hooks on something like that. The problem I have with treble hooks is usually we've got multiple people on the boat. If you got one hook in the fish's mouth, you got two more points sticking out somewhere. And these people aren't, they don't do it every day to know the dangers of it. Mm-hmm. Not to mention every fish, it takes a pair of pliers to unhook it. So yeah. For us, it's a time thing. But, yeah, I do keep an emergency box of handicap hooks on the boat.
Got it. Darryl, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this fishing, you know, it looks like the end of March might be a little warm up, might be some good fishing there. But certainly by March, tell them how to get you.
Oh, yeah, Don. And the phone's starting to heat up already, so it looks like it's going to be another good year. 225-937-6288. Or they can find most of the information either on your website, which is DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, or on ours, which is RealScreamers.com.
Got it, Darryl. Thanks, my friend. Well, we need to get together and do some fishing. Been too long, huh?
It has been a long time, Don.
Well, we got to get down there and enjoy it together. Always fun fishing with you. Thanks, Darryl. Appreciate your reports. All right, there he goes, Captain Darryl Carpenter. Coming up next, another captain, Mike Gallo. We'll find out what his favorite hook, single hook now, no jig head, just a hook, putting it underneath a cork, maybe a split shot to give it a little bit of weight with a live shrimp. If the shrimp is not enough to get it down. Of course, when you see that shrimp come up to the top of the water and he's swimming around your cork with the hook in him, you know what's coming next. Yeah, some big speckled trout chasing him around. Woo, I love to hear that. We'll be back with Captain Mike after this pause on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And it's time for our Born on the Bayou Report with Captain Mike Gallo. It is a presentation of CETO. You know them. We talk about them all the time. They're the group that for $199 a year gives you a membership where you get unlimited fuel drops if you run dry, get you towed in 24/7 to the dock or to the repair shop, jump starts for electrical problems, whatever it takes to get you back safely. CETO, it's like AAA on the water, peace of mind for you and your loved ones, and it's one phone call or one click away. If you're calling on the phone, call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or you can visit CETO.com. Captain Mike Gallo joins us now. And, Mike, let's start off with the question we got in. If you're fishing live shrimp under a popping cork, no jig head, just a plain hook, what's your hook of choice?
I like the number two octopus-style hook. And the reason is it's a small hook. It's simple to get out of small fish without killing them so that, you know, they can get back in the water and hopefully grow up to reproduce and make more fish for us to catch in the future.
Yeah, and that is an unusual choice. Where can that be? Is it can be found regularly where tackle sold? Is it easy to find them?
Yeah, they're very common. It's an offset J, and then the eye is tilted back on a 45-degree angle. Very versatile hook. Just like you were stating earlier, we catch 40 and 50-pound black drum on those small hooks every year, and we also catch speckled trout that are 8 to 10 inches long, and we can release them, you know, without holding them.
When do you decide to go jig headless? In other words, just use a hook like we're talking about as opposed to putting a jig head under a cork?
If I'm fishing live bait, I'm going to start out without the jig head. That way the shrimp can swim freely and move about and look as natural as possible.
Jig head mostly for dead bait, right?
Jig head mostly for dead bait, or if there's more current or deeper water than the, that odd depth range of 8 to, say, 12 feet, where I don't think I need a drop shot, but too deep to work a cork, that type of scenario.
Mike, if somebody's planning a trip this weekend or maybe on Mardi Gras Day in your area, fishing around Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, Biloxi Marsh, Lake Catherine, you cover a lot of area, what would be your suggestions given the temperature and the tide range and what we're looking at?
Well, the Pearl River is relatively high, and we've been having incoming tides during the day. So the Wrigley's and the Lake Pontchartrain area, that water is kind of stained. It's not as clean as you would like. I made several trips during the week with my group of guys from Texas. They're pretty dedicated when it comes to fishing. And where we found fish, we ended up in the Mr. Go and in the Intercoastal Waterway up around the wall area and caught a mixed bag of fish, even using just artificials. We caught bass, and we caught redfish, speckled trout, white trout, and even some of those hybrid stripers.
Very good, very good. Mike, any other suggestions? I guess too early for the bridges. When can we expect maybe to give that a shot on Lake Pontchartrain's Highway 11, I-10, or Railroad Trestle bridges?
I seem to find that they bite better when our water temperatures reach about 60. And this week when I fished, water temperatures would start out in the mid-50s, say 54, and by the end of the day, it may be up to 58. So it won't be long if we continue to have, you know, nice sunny weather and increasing daylight, which we do have. Those water temperatures will come up, and it should be a good spring.
All right, Captain Mike, thank you for the report. As always, if somebody wants to get you, I got a nice picture and a contact button for you on my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. What is your site if they want to go directly there, and also the telephone number?
Very simple. You can find me at AAofLA.com. We're under Angling Adventures of Louisiana on Facebook. And the reliable telephone is 985-781-7811.
All right. Sounds good, Captain Mike. We'll see you soon. Thanks for the report, as always. We appreciate it.
All righty, Don. You have a good day as well.
All righty, that is Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Coming back after this, you like to paddle for your fish? Well, a whole lot of you do. Kayaks is a big going thing. It's growing by the year, leaps and bounds. And Brendan Bayard's in the middle of all of it. He's got some reports and some advice for you if you're going to be headed out this Mardi Gras weekend. Right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. And each Saturday morning, a lot of you look forward to our Paddler's Report, brought to you by Massey's Outfitters in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. You're going to find Massey's locations Mid-City, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington, in addition to some of the best fishing models for kayaks like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft. You can also visit their website for a lot of accessories and also those wintertime skiing outfits if you're going to be headed out west. You can also find out about the demo days where you can ride and try before you buy. Go to MasseyOutfitters.com. That's M-A-S-S-E-Y Outfitters.com. Also got a great Facebook page. Brendan Bayard joins us now to talk about wintertime fishing from a kayak. Brendan, what's going on in the world of paddling?
Fishing's pretty good, Don. We've had a warm-up this week. This time of year, I like to target those windward banks. We're seeing a lot of influx of those really small bait fish, and small shrimp are going to start coming in. So you're seeing the little pogies that are almost a dime size come in, and then you're not seeing them quite yet, but I know they're in the water somewhere. Those really tiny shrimp are going to start hatching. That makes for a nice windward bank fishing. Those fish are so small that they kind of get tossed and turned with the water. If I'm out there and there's kind of a breeze stacked up against a bay one side, I'll generally target that side, kind of use the size of those guys getting pushed up against that bank, and usually find the fish over there stacked up. Generally, if the water is clean enough, if you're fishing really dirty water, you might not want to fish the windward side. But usually this time of year, the water's pretty clean, and that's been a good pattern for us, the last month or so, traditionally in February, early March.
Brendan, you got any sockeye crappie trips planned? Are we getting into prime time for sockeye?
Yeah, I've been meaning to head over there. My uncle has a place over there in Kazan Lake over there in near Chico that I've been dying to go hit up, and they've been telling me that the sockeye have been really doing well over there.
What's your favorite rig up from a kayak fishing for sockeye?
I'm usually bringing kids, so I'm bringing all kinds of stuff with me just to ensure that they catch a lot of fish. And, I'm bringing shiners and I'm bringing tube jigs and, I'm just fishing everything small under a cork that I can think of, I don't claim to be an expert at sockeye. I've caught them on everything I can imagine, but, just get out there, be patient and try different water depths. See if they're against trees, see if they're on banks. Sometimes you go out there and you see them bedding on the side where you can like visually see them. And sometimes, they're a lot deeper. Sometimes if I find floating hydrilla or something like that in a deeper area, I'll get out and kind of punch through that and kind of shake that grass and kind of let those little critters that are held up in that hydrilla fall down and kind of start a feeding frenzy, if you will, kind of similar to what people do at the bridges at Grand Isle when they take those shovels out and they start scraping barnacles for sheephead. It's kind of that same effect where you're kind of getting the fish going below you. And, you know, sometimes that works pretty good as well.
Great tip. A question that came up this morning is favorite hook style and size if you're fishing speckled trout with live shrimp under a cork. Captain Robin checked in, and he says that his preference is a number 8 2X bronze treble. And due to the lighter weight and the small barbs, the shrimp swim better and live longer. So it's quite a variety. Some people use trebles. I prefer a kale. Also, Mike uses an offset hook called an octopus. What's your go-to hook if you're fishing no jig head, no weight, just a live shrimp under a cork?
I used to use a kale hook all the time. Now I use an octopus hook. Probably, I don't know, I don't keep up with the sizes. I just keep them in my box. But I would say it's probably around a 2 or a 3 kale hook, or an octopus hook. But if I'm with kids, I definitely use a treble hook, probably a 8 or a 6. And basically, if they're not paying attention, or if they're not too fast to reel down on a fish, that treble hook will save you a lot of headache. So with the kids, it's the treble. For me, it's the octopus.
All right, we got a holiday coming up. You catching fish or you catching beads?
I'm catching beads, unfortunately.
Ouch. Good luck to you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right. Talk to you next time. Brendan Bayard, one of our paddling reporters. All right. I got some more text messages coming in. Let's see. We're hearing from our friend John Terrebonne. He's with the Convent Hunting Club. You know what they're doing. They're checking in this weekend. They're en route to go load up the rabbit hounds. It's been a long season, he says. A lot of running. Hands down, this is the most productive time. Yeah, we've had some really hard, cold weather knocking down that vegetation, clearing the way to make it easier to spot those little bunnies. And he says all the other seasons are over, plus it's been cold and wet. Should be able to get in some good rabbit hunts for these last 2 weeks. And each Saturday morning, a lot of you look forward to our Paddler's Report, brought to you by Massey's Outfitters in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. You're going to find Massey's locations Mid-City, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Covington, in addition to some of the best fishing models for kayaks like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, Native Watercraft. You can also visit their website for a lot of accessories and also those wintertime skiing outfits if you're going to be headed out west. You can also find out about the demo days where you can ride and try before you buy. Go to MasseyOutfitters.com. That's M-A-S-S-E-Y, Outfitters.com. Also got a great Facebook page. Brendan Bayard joins us now to talk about wintertime fishing from a kayak. Brendan, what's going on in the world of paddling?
Fishing's pretty good, Don. We've had a warm-up this week. This time of year, I like to target those windward banks. We're seeing a lot of influx of those really small bait fish, and small shrimp are going to start coming in. So you're seeing the little pogies that are almost a dime size come in, and then you're not seeing them quite yet, but I know they're in the water somewhere. Those really tiny shrimp are going to start hatching. That makes for a nice windward bank fishing. Those fish are so small that they kind of get tossed and turned with the water. If I'm out there and there's kind of a breeze stacked up against a bay one side, I'll generally target that side, kind of use the size of those guys getting pushed up against that bank, and usually find the fish over there stacked up. Generally, if the water is clean enough, if you're fishing really dirty water, you might not want to fish the windward side. But usually this time of year, the water's pretty clean, and that's been a good pattern for us, the last month or so, traditionally in February, early March.
Brendan, you got any sockeye, crappie trips planned? Are we getting into prime time for sockeye?
Yeah, I've been meaning to head over there. My uncle has a place over there in Kazan Lake over there in near Chico that I've been dying to go hit up, and they've been telling me that the sockeye have been really doing well over there.
What's your favorite rig up from a kayak fishing for Sockeye?
I'm usually bringing kids, so I'm bringing all kinds of stuff with me just to ensure that they catch a lot of fish. And, you know, I'm bringing shiners and I'm bringing tube jigs and, you know, I'm just fishing everything small under a cork that I can think of, you know. But, you know, I don't claim to be an expert at Sockeye. I've caught them on everything I can imagine. But, you know, just get out there, be patient, and try different water depths. See if they're against trees, see if they're on banks. You know, sometimes you go out there and you see them bedding on the side where you can, like, visually see them. And sometimes, you know, they're a lot deeper. Sometimes if I find floating hydrilla or something like that in a deeper area, I'll get out and kind of punch through that and kind of shake that grass and kind of let those little critters that are held up in that hydrilla fall down. And kind of start a feeding frenzy, if you will, kind of similar to what people do at the bridges at Grand Isle when they take those shovels out and they start scraping barnacles for sheephead. It's kind of that same effect where you're kind of getting the fish going below you. And, you know, sometimes that works pretty good as well.
Great tip. A question that came up this morning is favorite hook style and size if you're fishing speckled trout with live shrimp under a cork. Captain Robin checked in, and he says that his preference is a number 8 2X bronze treble, and due to the lighter weight and the small barbs, the shrimp swim better and live longer. So it's quite a variety. Some people use trebles. I prefer a kale. Also, Mike uses an offset hook called an octopus. What's your go-to hook if you're fishing no jig head, no weight, just a live shrimp under a cork?
I used to use a kale hook all the time. Now I use an octopus hook. Probably, I don't know, I don't keep up with the sizes. I just keep them in my box. But I would say it's probably around a 2 or a 3 kale hook, or an octopus hook. But if I'm with kids, I definitely use a treble hook, probably a 8 or a 6. And basically, if they're not paying attention, or if you know, they're not too fast to reel down on a fish, that treble hook will save you a lot of headache. So with the kids, it's the treble. For me, it's the octopus.
All right, we got a holiday coming up. You catching fish or you catching beads?
I'm catching beads, unfortunately.
Ouch. Good luck to you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, sir. Take care.
All right, talk to you next time. Brendan Bayard, one of our paddling reporters. All right, I got some more text messages coming in. Let's see, we're hearing from our friend John Terrebonne. He's with the Convent Hunting Club. You know what they're doing. They're checking in this weekend. They're en route to go load up the rabbit hounds. It's been a long season, he says, a lot of running, hands down. This is the most productive time. Yeah, we've had some really hard, cold weather, knocking down that vegetation, clearing the way to make it easier to spot those little bunnies. And he says all the other seasons are over, plus it's been cold and wet. Should be able to get in some good rabbit hunts for these last 2 weeks of the season. We've been seeing some very good numbers lately. Plenty of rabbits for everyone. And I got to tell you, if you've never heard a bawling bunch of beagles strike up on a clear, still morning, whew, put it on your bucket list. You got to do it. Good luck to you, John, you and your crew over there at the Convent Hunting Club. All right, we're going to be right back with more of your text messages. Also got an interesting point brought up about the appointment of a commissioner, which I had forgot about, and I checked into it, and this texter is absolutely right. So we'll be back to talk about that, and also a couple of bad boys. We're calling them our co-bad boys of the morning. Their story's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we've been asking you to text in your choices for appointees to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Commission. And one of our listeners brought up a point that this open spot is for a commercial representative. And it slipped my mind because by law, there's 7 commissioners. 4 of them are chosen at large. 3 of them have to be representatives from the commercial or fur industries. And presently we have 2, which would be Andrew Blanchard and Kevin Sagrera, who both represent commercial fishing industries. So this opening would be for a 3rd commercial fisheries representative. So unfortunately, a lot of the people that you have been selecting wouldn't qualify under that designation. And that goes back to 1952 when this commission was set up. And I really think this whole commission needs to be, and it's going to take a constitution amendment, but I think it's got to be reworked. I think there should be representative from either districts of the state. I think possibly elected positions instead of appointed, because then they're accountable to the public. I think this commission needs some serious revamping and reworking. What do you think? All right, our text message board is open at 504-260-1870. Back to your text, plus a bad boy story coming up after we let our local stations tell you who they are and where they are along the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Our Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries agents received information that Cody Smith killed a deer from his porch near Bastrop in Morehouse Parish without hunting licenses. The agents made contact with Smith, who admitted to taking an 8-point deer with a rifle on January the 14th without possessing hunting licenses and tags. The agents also learned that Smith used Nicholas Sumrall's deer tag to tag the deer that he himself had harvested. Game tags are not transferable, and of course a basic license, deer license, and tags are required to hunt deer. The 8-point rack was seized, and you can see a picture of it on my Facebook page, and now facing maximum criminal fines of up to $1,050 is 29-year-old Cody D. Smith, and for allowing another person to use his deer tag, looking at a $350 fine, is 26-year-old Nicholas Sumrall, both of Bastrop, Louisiana, and our co-bad boys of the outdoors. All right, never run short on bad boy stories. This is speaking of enforcement agents, this is an interesting release I got this morning. The Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Division agents will be assisting the state police and New Orleans police with patrol during Mardi Gras this upcoming weekend through Wednesday. From last night at 9 p.m. until Wednesday, February the 14th, and the new Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Secretary, Madison Shahan, said, "We're happy to provide this assistance during a very important and busy weekend in New Orleans. We're hopeful that this increased enforcement will make for a more enjoyable and safer experience for the public. The agents will specifically be on the lookout for illegally possessed animals in the French Quarter for the safety of the residents and tourists. The biologists will accompany the agents to help with the safe handling of any potential seizures of illegally possessed animals." Now, what would be an illegally possessed? Maybe those boa pythons? People bring snakes to I don't know. I don't do Mardi Gras, and so I don't know what kind of animals would be there. And it's a fine of $500 if you're caught with the animal, and the animal will be seized. But my question is this really the best use of our enforcement agents during a busy outdoor weekend to go do safety in the French Quarter in New Orleans? I understand they do rescues during storms and floods, and the wildlife and fisheries agents are called to do an awful lot of jobs outside of protecting the fish and game in the state. But to go do crowd control and look for illegal animals, and for I don't know how many of them are going, and that's a long period of time, Friday till Wednesday. Maybe they'd be better served out in the woods and on the water. What do you think? And I know we got a lot of agents that listen to this show. If you're a Department of Wildlife and Fishery agent, and you'll remain anonymous, you don't need to include your name, what are your thoughts on being sent to the French Quarter, New Orleans, for duty there instead of protecting and conserving and patrolling the woods and waters, which is your number one job? I don't know. And by the way, if you have not heard it, I had an interview with the new secretary, Madison Shahan. According to our listeners, the jury's still out. I have seen some positive things. I'm not so sure this is a good move. What do you think? 504-260-1870. That's our text message board. And I got a few coming in here. This one says, we got a lot of response on the lost dog issue. This one says, "I may have missed this, but chips implanted in your pet really helps in locating." I don't know that those help locating. They can be identified. I've always chipped my dogs, and if someone finds a dog and they bring it to a vet, they can observe it and find the information of who the owner is, but I don't think it gives off any signals. All right, we got that, and let's see. We want to know, I'm not quite sure what your question is there, Big E from Thibodeau. Maybe you could explain a little bit better, because I'm not sure what the question is. We'll try to answer that. All right. Also, Jason, my barber, guess what he's doing? He's riding in the Bacchus Parade. Hope you have a good ride, Jason. All right. We'll be back to get to some more of your texts. And also, we got a fishing report from Captain Ryan Lambert down the river, DTR, they call it. Back with him right after this time out. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And Captain Ryan Lambert joins us. And, Ryan, I've been asking all the guides this morning what is their choice for fishing a shrimp, live shrimp, underneath a cork. And I guess you wouldn't know because you don't do that. But if you were going to put a shrimp underneath a cork on a single hook, what would it be?
I have no clue. I'm not doing that.
You have to ask
when you ask that question, you want to know what kind of cork, what kind of hook, what is it that you're asking?
Just the hook itself. What type of hook?
Oh, if you don't want it weighted, you'd put like a kale hook. But if you want it weighted, a lot of guys just put it on a light jig head, 1/8 ounce jig head. You know, that helps it get down a little faster. But if you fish that you want a slow presentation, then you just put a hook, just a kale hook or something like that.
Yeah, a little kale hook. That's good. You're doing pretty good on something you know nothing about, fishing with live bait. All right, so where are you this morning? We got to put one of those GPS collars on you. Oh, okay, you're in Luling.
Yeah, air tag at least, huh?
Something.
Yeah, I'm in Luling. I'm going to go to the house tomorrow. So I came home, so I spent the day with the family before I take off again.
Tell us about Nolehase. We got a lot of new people listening these days, and they hear us talk about it, but they don't know what it is. Nolehase.
Nolehase is my lodge in Mexico. It's about 100 miles south of Brownsville, and it's world-class shooting. I mean, it's incredible for ducks, geese, dove, quails, sandhills. Start with white wings in August, and this might be the last hunt of the season I'm going on, and we still got a lot of ducks. So the limits are a lot more liberal than they are here, although we do limit ourselves. But it's just impressive. You know, you shoot a case of shells every time you go down.
How big of a place is the lodge? I mean, I know you got a lot of regular customers and you stay pretty well booked up. Is it possible for a group to get down there and pick a date when you got some?
No, they have to go through one of the owners. They'd have to go with me or one of my groups. And, you know, usually I make all my people that want to go let me know before April so that when we pick our dates that I can go. This is my sixth trip this year, so I've been down quite a bit and had a lot of fun. Lots of wild quail. That's such a bonus to be able to shoot wild quail these days. I mean, they're fun, and the ducks, pintails and redheads mostly, and it's incredibly limits 20, so you can really kill some ducks. And speaking of ducks, oh my word, they opened up the Davis Pond diversion. You ought to see the ducks in Lake Cotawatchee complex, including flocks and flocks of mallards. You flush that salt water out of there, and they love it. You know, it's just, they do not like salt water. I've been preaching that for years, and I think every duck hunter in the world ought to get on them and put that diversion in through the north side of Lake Des Almas, and everyone in St. Charles and St. John and New Orleans area will have one heck of a lot of duck area to hunt.
Did that have any impact on the Salvador management area? Did you talk? I haven't talked to anybody.
Oh, yeah. It's covered with ducks right now. It's covered. I mean, flocks of mallards. I mean, we haven't seen flocks of mallards in forever. And why all of a sudden that would make them come down? But, I mean, the sky just turns black when you run your boat through there right now.
Hmm.
It's pretty sight. It's a little bit late for the season, but maybe next year we ought to just think about opening Davis Pond during the season and see if that improves the hunting efforts, because it's not been good.
As low as the river was, do you think they'd get much through there?
No, but as soon as that river came up, they opened it up, and it's going 9,000 cubic feet per second, and you know, it only flows 10, so, or 10.5, so that's pretty good. And, I mean, it made a major difference to the ducks, and I'm sure it will for the fish as well. You know, just to flush that out and get those saltwater fish back toward the Gulf and help the catfish and sockeye, because they don't like saltwater either. I mean, they've pushed all the way back to Lake Buff and at the north end of Lake Des Almas because of saltwater intrusion, especially this year with that river so low. So that's going to help a lot to get rid of that saltwater out of our estuary and do a lot of aquatic vegetation for the spring. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, could restore those areas that far upriver to what they once were which was really a waterfowler's paradise. Ryan, with this river coming back up, a lot of fishermen that have been fishing down in your area have gotten accustomed fishing conditions on a very low river. That's all changed now. Remind them,
without a
doubt. How do you change, where do you go, and how do you fish when the river's up like it's going to be?
Well, you got two things that hampers your fishing right now. If you're used to fishing in a river, that's over because it's flowing 10-7, something like that, and that's a lot, and it's dirty, and it's cold. But the biggest thing is the cold water. It's 42 degrees right down the river because it's coming from up north. So you have to get away from that. You know, a cold-blooded animal like a fish, it doesn't take too many degrees of difference to make him go find that spot and eat there. So we're just looking for warmer water, and everybody's limiting out every day. The trout, I have to go at the top of the high tide to catch them on the west side. And I've been doing that, so they're there, but you do have to wait. Especially this week, we had some pretty good winds that dirtied it up pretty good. But at the top of the high tide, it cleans up, it gets pretty, and you can catch them. So, you know, I've been fishing the evening when I want to fish trout, and then I've been sight fishing the reds. I'm still doing that, so that's always an easy thing to get on some reds to sight fish. I mean, that's what I like to do anyhow.
Good deal. Well, will you be talking to us from Nolahassa next week, or will you be back?
No. I'll be back Wednesday. It's Valentine's Day. I can't be away from Miss Corman on Valentine's Day, you know.
Oh, indeed. No, plus you got the hair to take care of, too, you know.
Yeah, well, we only go for 3-day trips, so it's Sunday through Wednesday and then Thursday through Sunday. That's how we work it. So I'll be back Wednesday, and I got 34 people coming in Thursday night, so I'll be busy.
All right, we'll be looking for a Nolahassa report, how the duck season wrapped up down there next week.
All right, my friend, we'll do that.
All righty, take care. Be careful at those parades. I know you love going to parades.
Okay, that's not happening. Unless I go to the Luling parade today, I might go see a lot of people, because I'm not around Luling too much anymore, and I miss all my people because I'm always down the river. So I might make a little pass at the parade today.
All right. Thanks for the report, as always. We appreciate it.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
See you. Captain Ryan Lambert, CajunFishingAdventures.com. You can find out there. And also about Nolahassa, which means what? No worries? No worries? Something like that. All right, we come back after this. Going to get to our text board. Got differing opinions on sending wildlife and fishery agents down to the French Quarter in New Orleans this weekend and doing Mardi Gras. And also we talk about, we say goodbye to a mentor of mine, a man who was highly responsible for much of the fisheries research and management that's been done in the Gulf of Mexico. All that's next right here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, got some interesting texts about the use of wildlife and fishery enforcement agents in the French Quarter of New Orleans during Mardi Gras, and some other texts, too. This one wants to know about the requirement that three members of the Wildlife and Fisheries Commission be coastal parishes representatives of the commercial fishing industry in some manner, with the other four being at large. That is correct. Here's one that says, 100% correct, Don. Just another example of how some state officials think they're going to put somebody in jail for taking a picture with a boa constrictor. And this one from Michael in Lafayette. Mr. Dubuque, you are such a remarkable resource of truth and integrity in the field of outdoor sports and politics. Thank you for that. Possibly you should read the bios of each of the Wildlife and Fishery Commissioners for reference of just who we are being guided by. And I am familiar with their bios, and I've the ones that I observed, there's some new ones there, but most of the ones I've observed lately have been disappointments in the way they conduct their business and their meetings. All right, here's one that says, I got to work today, but going to take the kids to catch beads. Hope to go catch some fish. Trying to keep everybody happy. That's the Irish coon ass. And let's see, here's one that says, wildlife agents on urban Mardi Gras activities, lunacy. Another says, another dumbass Jeff Landry idea. Here's one, Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras, a problem, especially boa constrictors. And this one says, that's the one that says, I've been in law enforcement for 20 years, and yes, exotic animals on Bourbon are a problem, especially boa constrictors. Which get very large and sometimes have poisonous, I'm sure you mean venomous. I don't think any of the boas are venomous, but other snake species might be. And we've even seen anacondas on Bourbon Street and later learned that they were released into the wild in the east. Here's another one. There have been persons in the French Quarter carrying pythons over shoulders and having tourists take pictures with them. Wildlife and fisheries agents are better suited to handle this issue. I guess the question is how many agents, and is that their specific mission? They're not really doing crowd control. They're looking for illegal wildlife. This one says the French Quarter wildlife, in quotations, is not listed in the wildlife and fisheries brochure. Keep the agents in the woods and on the waters. And we got a question about a portable castable fish finder that pairs to your cell phone to find water depths and fish from the bank, similar to the depth finder on your boat. Maybe I'll have to research that and find out about some of those. And here's one that says there's been a problem with illegal exotic animals being displayed in the city of New Orleans. NOPD does not have the expertise like the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries biologists and enforcement to deal with these animals. The Enforcement Division has authority to enforce all laws in the state anywhere. This action taken by the agency was to protect the public using the most expert agency to deal with wild animals. I can understand that, but again, the question is how many agents and how much time will they spend enforcing people taking pictures with boa constrictors? And here's one, last week, we lost a pioneer in the fisheries industry, John Hewitt, who was a Navy SEAL veteran and multiple medal honoree, including a Purple Heart, avid diver, marine biologist. Tagged redfish for the saltwater series with the late Sam Barbera. He helped design and open the aquarium, Audubon Aquarium, and was their husbandry director for 30 years. R.I.P. John. That's from Ben in Covington. Yeah, I didn't realize he had passed, but I did know John Hewitt, and we did some interviews together, and another great, outstanding fisheries marine biologist. All right, well, we say goodbye to another one, and this is the recent passing, if you haven't heard, of Dr. Bob Shipp at age of 81 in Tampa, Florida. He spent 40 years at the University of South Alabama. He retired as the chair of the Department of Marine Sciences there. He was the author of an incredible book, the first publication. Was kind of primitive, and I used it like a Bible, Guide to the Fish of the Gulf of Mexico. And then he came out with a second one. I use his book as a Bible for offshore fisheries in the Gulf. He autographed one for me, and he says, "Don, I hope you enjoy this. Here's to great fishing forever, Bob Shipp." A memorial for Dr. Shipp is going to be held at the Dauphin Island Sea Lab 1 week from today, next Saturday. It'll be at the Shelby Auditorium from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m., gone but certainly not forgotten, a mentor of mine, Dr. Bob Shipp. Incredible guy. All right, we'll see you next week. Same time, same place, 5 to 7, Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.